Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Today Richie and I are about to settle into a conversation on a topic that is very close to my heart. We are talking about making time for your art when life is so busy. So I shared a poll recently on Instagram stories with a few podcast topic ideas, and this one was overwhelmingly the most popular topic. And it made me think that there must be many of us struggling to find time for our creativity to balance all the different competing demands in our life. And so what I wanted to do was talk about this topic and approach it from a very personal angle and reflect back on how we have made time for creativity in our lives, but also when we have struggled. So it's going to be a pretty juicy conversation, I reckon.
I struggle with this too. I have all these ideas for personal projects that I want to do, but life gets in the way. It can be demotivating, demoralizing. And sometimes I think it's my fault, you know, I'm not disciplined enough or whatever to get out there and do it. But yeah, there's this great comment that I want to read out from one of our listeners, and it says, "Right now I'm struggling with getting into the studio. Family obligations and distractions hold me back. Can you address how we balance everything? Also, I feel a bit ho-hum about my art. How to get the inspiration back?"
It's tricky because we always think that we are going to have more time, that our life will settle down. And I know that when I had young children, I thought that once they get to school, that's it. I am going to have so much time. And it just gets gobbled up with other stuff. And then as the children have become older, in some ways we have gained more time, but there's a different kind of drain on our energy. So we have a teenager now and an almost teenager. And sometimes after talking through some challenges that they are going through with them, weighing up various options, this is sometimes goes on for hours, I am so done after that. And while I might have time, I don't have the energy. So I do think that we have to think about time and energy. They are two parts of this conversation, because recognizing when you have the most energy, finding ways to protect your energy, these are all important things. And we have to make choices, because we can't balance millions of things. Like you mentioned how you have all these different ideas. We only have so much time in the day. Time is fixed. It's one of the things that we actually know. We know that we have 24 hours in a day, and we have to get realistic about that. Recently, I've actually been doing some time tracking, which is a really hard thing to do. That's firstly what I've discovered, is that it's difficult to record what you have done in a day and keep up with it throughout the day. So look at the tasks that you are doing and actually write down, okay, I spent this much time on social media. I spent this much time writing a newsletter. I spent this much time talking to the kids and maybe helping them with homework. I spent this much time on laundry. But if you can do it, I don't know if you would ever do it.
Me personally? No.
And I will admit, I didn't do a very good job of it, but I did do a bit of it, because I just wanted to get a clearer idea on where on earth is my time going? Where am I spending my time and where is my energy going? And the other thing that I did was that I used one of my planners. So you know that I have a ton of planners. I went on a planner, what would you call it? Planner blitz? No, blitz isn't the word. What is the word?
Campaign, I would use.
Blitz sounds like you're getting rid of it, and I certainly didn't get rid of planners.
No, campaign is not the word I was thinking of. Crusade is the word I'm thinking of.
I don't think any of these words fit.
Oh, they do.
But the point is that I bought a whole lot of planners because I think it's clear that I was struggling with this too. And I wanted to figure out how on earth can I plan my days, my weeks, my months better to fit in primarily more art. I wanted to try and carve out some time in my schedule to make sure that I am painting every week. So I went on a bit of a rampage. Maybe that's not the right word either. What is the word?
I have no idea. All I see is the table full of books and I start opening them up. So I open the book, it's a planner. And then I open the next book, it's a planner. And then I open the next book, it's a planner. And my brain is trying to catch up. And I just remember looking at you going, are you mad?
Yeah. It's funny. I shared on Instagram a story where I had moved out of my planners and onto post-it notes. This is the craziness that goes on in my head. So I bought like four planners and then I decided the planners weren't working. So I got out post-it notes and I came up with this idea of putting the different things that I do in a week on these post-it notes. And of course, I had different colors as well. So I was allocating out the colors. And then I had Monday to Friday. I don't think I was worrying about the weekend, but Monday to Friday. And what I was doing was slotting in these different tasks. So when could I write my newsletter? When could I paint? And it's funny because I was doing it on the dining room table and both kids came up and started helping me. And felt it was like it turned into this game. You didn't come to the table. You walked straight past and went, oh my gosh, she's bonkers. She's bonkers. Maybe that's the word.
Stop using crazy, is that what you're saying?
Crazy definitely comes into it. I shared this on a story and the song that I put in the background was that Gnarls Barkley song, I Think I'm Crazy. Yeah. But anyway, the post-it note system is actually quite effective because you can move things around. And I started to use the time tracking that I had done to work out where I could do things. And as crazy as it sounds, it's a very helpful exercise to get a really good grasp on how much time you have. And once you know something like, okay, I write a newsletter for my community roughly once a week, and usually I spend about 2 to 3 hours on that newsletter. So it's kind of like either a morning or an afternoon on the newsletter, and that includes writing it, setting it up in my scheduling program, adding in images, adding in any links. Like it's a 2 to 3 hour process from start to finish. And that's really helpful to know that. To me, that's helpful to know how long does it take for me to write a newsletter. The same goes with a podcast. Like how long does it take for us to plan and execute a podcast? So once I had figured out these things and I had a rough idea, and what I found was that most of these things take up either a morning or an afternoon. And so I was slotting things in using my post-it notes. Okay, I'll do this in the morning, I'll do this in the afternoon. Then I started looking for gaps. And then I had a bit of a crisis because I had put all these things into my calendar, but there was no time to paint. And here I am. I have an art podcast. I'm an artist. My whole week is filled up with social media, newsletters, all these other things. Where's the painting time? So that's when I thought about it and I had to pull things back. And we had initially decided that we would do a weekly YouTube video as well as a weekly podcast. And I came to you and I said, if we do this YouTube video a week and we do the podcast and I do a newsletter and I do social posts, that's pretty much my whole week. So we made the decision to only do that fortnightly. And in the past, I've only ever really thought about a week as a week. And I had this massive aha when I thought about it as a fortnight, like thought about planning things over a fortnight so that there were some things that are fortnightly things rather than weekly things. And you could do this even with a newsletter or something like that. Or even exercise. You might do 2 sessions of exercise and 1 session in the following week. That just gives you more flexible options. Or you could do it with your painting sessions. You might have 2 sessions 1 week and then 1 session the other week. So that opened up possibilities in the schedule when I started looking at it as a fortnightly plan rather than a weekly plan. And so once I did that, I was able to free up some space. And I had to take things out in order to claim back my painting days. And in the end, I decided that I would make Friday a painting day, and a full painting day, and very much about my personal process. I often do painting on a Wednesday when we do YouTube videos or class videos. So that they're kind of my 2 painting days, Wednesday and Friday. But one of them is more about classes and the other one is more for me. And initially I thought that having just 1 painting day, because really it's just 1 painting, pure painting day a week. And I thought that's just not enough. That's not enough. I'm an artist. I can't call myself an artist if I'm only painting once a week. And so I had this massive barrier around that. And so I'd always be trying to paint more and then getting frustrated and dissatisfied and down on myself. But this year I decided, well, let's set the bar really low. And it comes from that episode that we shared a couple of weeks back, which is called Aim to Be Average and the Benefits of Mediocre Days. So this mindset that we talked about in that episode, which I'll link in the description, led into this approach where I decided that 1 day is enough. And so I've been doing that and it's been incredible because not only have I been getting into the studio on my 1 designated day, but as long as I get into my studio once a week, there's this current that I get swept up in. And this week is a perfect example of that because I had my painting day last Friday and I began working on a canvas, which what I was trying to do, and I've been trying to do this for years, but I wanted to see if I could bring my watercolor style of painting, so very fluid and drippy, onto a large canvas, because what I want to do is paint a painting for our lounge area in the studio, which is where we are sitting right now. And it's quite a light and airy space. And I wanted to get that kind of watercolor quality into a large piece. And I've been playing around with techniques for this for years, and I haven't really quite nailed it yet. But what I'm doing is using fluid acrylics and acrylic inks and trying to not overwork it and even leave some white space and canvas untouched. Oh my goodness, it's so hard. It's so hard. Whenever I get onto a canvas, I think in an acrylic layering kind of way. So I feel like I can just slap stuff on and cover it up and it gets really like kind of heavy. And I was looking at some of my paintings, even a recent piece, which I liked when I did it. But the more I look at it, the more it feels kind of heavy. Like it doesn't have the flow. And I love the flow in my watercolor pieces. I started this experimentation on Friday. And because I had designated that as my personal painting day, it didn't really matter what I was doing. It didn't need to be linked to anything other than my enjoyment and interest. And so I started working on this, and for the first time, I really felt like I was making some progress. I was like, oh, I'm getting the feeling that I want into this. And so on Saturday, I actually made a few decisions on Friday night in order to clear my Saturday. So I got home and I did some laundry and things that I normally do on Saturday. I cleared my schedule on Saturday. I dropped our daughter at work and she works from around 10 till 2. And I came to the studio and I worked on that painting because I wanted to paint so badly that I felt compelled to bring it into my Saturday. And that's what I mean. Like you only need to start with this low goal or this, you know, small goal, and you might be surprised at where that takes you. So start small. And I'm talking about a whole day of painting. For some people, that might seem really elusive because they're working a full-time job and they're, you know, in a whole day of painting. I'm talking about it not being enough, and they're thinking in their head, oh my goodness, if only I had a full day of painting. So it's all relative. But it might be an afternoon of painting. It might be a morning. It might be an evening. If you can just create one sacred space, one sacred time in your week, or it could be in your fortnight if your time is really stretched, but something that you know is there for you, and let it grow from there. Just start small.
Make it a non-negotiable. So if you say, I'm going to paint every Thursday night because that's when my husband goes to the gym and the kids are in bed, and I have this time to myself, and it's 3 hours on a Thursday night, make it a non-negotiable. And what I mean by that is, if a friend calls up and wants to go out for coffee, if someone wants to catch up, if you go to the gym yourself, or if you have other things that you want to do, and it starts to encroach on your Thursday night, because Thursday night is a non-negotiable, you just work around it. I can't go out tonight, but I could do Friday, or I'll see you Sunday morning. It's a non-negotiable.
Yeah, that's a brilliant point to bring up, because once you've created your sacred space,
protect it.
It's about protection. And this is something that I am learning, and I'm learning it from you, because when I'm in the studio and you're working, I hear how you protect your time and how you manage to support people who ring throughout the day. So you are a person that gets a lot of phone calls. Sometimes it drives me crazy. People are always ringing Richie. They ring Richie for all sorts of things. Advice, support, can you help with this? It's nonstop. And sometimes we are busy working on a creative project together. And what I get very inspired by with you is that you'll answer the call and you are able to provide support to someone in a really short space of time, like 5 minutes or so. You'll talk to them, you'll say, you know, you'll provide some kind of feedback to them if they're looking for that. But then you will very quickly move that conversation to another time that fits in with your schedule. So you'll say, oh, that's brilliant. How about we catch up on Sunday morning for a coffee? And I'm like, how did he do that in 5 minutes? I get stuck on the phone for hours, mm-hmm. or stuck in conversations for hours. I'm not very good at being direct like that. And it got me thinking about the importance of direct communication and being supportive, but also maintaining boundaries. So if you have a parent, or it could be even a teenager, and sometimes I do get caught up in very long conversations with the kids, and they're so long that I undo all the good work that I've done in the first 20 minutes of the conversation. And like, I, you know, in the first 20 minutes, I provide good support, and then we start to go deeper and deeper. And then by the end of the conversation, I'm getting comments like, Mum, you've made this about you.
Yeah.
Mum, I'm confused now.
The question that came through was, one of them was family obligations and distractions. And if you can protect your time, because you have to remember, when people are reaching out to you, they tend to be reaching out to you for some form of help. So when the kids come in, it's very rare. That's why it's so beautiful. If one of the kids comes in and all they want is a hug, it's great. You know, it makes you all warm and fuzzy. But normally it's a, where's my jumper? Where's my things? Can you make me something to eat? If a phone rings, it's very rare someone's just ringing to just catch up. You know, someone always wants something. So it's very easy to say, can I call you back on such a time? But you can only do that if you have something to protect. And I like the words you're using, sacred place and sacred time. And that's why making something a non-negotiable. And if you make something a non-negotiable, so let's say, for example, it's a Thursday evening. Your son goes to jiu-jitsu, your daughter goes to play football, and your husband sees that time. So he goes to the gym. And now you have this time. There could be a million things in your head. You could be saying, oh, okay, I'll catch up on the laundry. I'll tidy up the house. Or I might catch up on some of the work that I'm behind on from your job. But if you say, no, I'm going to take these 3 hours and I'm going to paint or I'm going to create, they become non-negotiable. So you tell everybody, on Thursday evening, when everyone's out of the house, I'm painting. So no one's expecting laundry to be done, the house to be clean, or whatever. It's your time. You know, let people know that that's what's happening. And then protect that as best you can.
Yeah, and it may take a while because even with you, I've noticed that over the last year or two, you have become much more aware of when I am creating and painting. Because this happened on the weekend, you actually said to me, oh, I didn't call you because I knew you were at the studio painting. And then, you know, later on, I think I called you and I can't remember what the situation was, but I remember you saying that. I remember you saying, I didn't call you about this. So maybe you had sorted out some kind of drama at home or something. And I remember thinking, oh, I love that. I love that you remembered that I was going into the studio because I hadn't been explicit about it. I just said in passing to you, I'm actually going to head to the studio and do some painting today. And you had remembered. But that takes time because you didn't used to do that. You used to ring me quite a lot while I was painting. And then that would sometimes lead to frustration on your end because I can be quite dismissive when someone calls me and I'm in the middle of painting because I'm thinking about the stroke that I'm doing and the fact that the paint is drying and I don't want to muck it up. And you're asking me things and I'm barely even responding to you. And then you think that it's personal, but it's not. It's just because I'm so in my process that it's really difficult for me to give my all to a conversation. So in many ways, it's so much better if I can communicate to people so that they know, so that they don't call me because they're not going to get the best of me in that particular situation. But of course, inevitably, there are going to be things that will have to be dealt with. There will be phone calls you do have to take. I feel like for the most part, you know, I can't just completely switch off and have do not disturb and not have anyone contact because there are things that come up, particularly with the kids. There are things, the school rings, they need something. You know, there are things that you just have to deal with because sometimes you have to go and pick up a sick child. And so you do need to, you know, have exceptions. And that's the tricky balance of making it non-negotiable but just having that little bit of flex in case something happens so that you don't get disappointed if there are those one or two times when you do have to go and do something.
And the great thing is that if you do protect that time, then it's very rare things happen.
Yes, it is. That's the, you know, that should only be once or twice a year.
Yeah.
That you might have a situation like that, you know, when the toilet's overflowing or, you know, something you just have to run and deal with, you know. But for the most part, you can protect that time and also manage your energy levels for that time.
Nobody needs to know. This was the lesson I learned. If somebody was requesting something from me, I would have to explain to them, like what we were talking about last week, I would explain to them why I couldn't do or why I couldn't meet their needs, as opposed to just saying, I can't do that right now, full stop. I can do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And that's it.
The other thing that you're really amazing at is when you catch up with people, like you catch up with people, but you don't do it all day. I would go and see my sister in the morning and come home at 9 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, how you go out for coffee with someone and it will be like 40 minutes and then you'll be back. Like, you went for coffee and it was, you did it within the hour.
The thing is, like, when you're in coaching and sports and other stuff, people require a certain amount from you, right? And you could get caught up in that. But what I do is I choose not to get caught up in that. A friend of mine, he works up in the mines. So when he comes back, he has all week off. But I don't. So when he says, do you want to catch up for a donut? Because that's our thing. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But I say, yeah, I'm working Tuesday. I'm editing, or we've got the podcast with Laura. I can be there at 10 o'clock, but I got to be out there by 10:45. And the way the conversation goes is he'll look at his watch and say, are you not meant to be gone? And I'm like, oh my God, yeah, I better get going. And then I'm in the car and I'm gone. So there's absolutely no need to stress or worry or, do you know what I mean? Like, we're just happy we caught up for 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's almost like having more things in your schedule can be helpful, because you can use that to your advantage in a way, because you have these structures in place, or these things that don't move, your non-negotiables that you have. And so when you do catch up with someone, you can say, oh, that's great, we can catch up, but at this time I need to do this. And as you said, no one needs to know. That could be your painting time.
Yeah.
That could, you could say, look, I can catch up at 9, but I have to be out of there by 11.
You tell a needy friend that the reason you can't stop everything.
Love your phrase, needy friend.
Yeah, we all have them.
Lovely friend.
Sorry. needy was the good word, by the way, of the two that were in my head.
Okay.
Right? Anyhow, your lovely needy friend, try explaining to them that the reason that you're not stopping everything to come to their aid because you're painting. Good luck. Like, good luck with that. Yet, your painting is probably the one thing that's keeping you sane. We tend to look at our, I'm not going to call it a hobby, right? I'm going to call it a release. We tend to look at our releases as barterable stuff. Is that a word, barterable? Am I using the right word?
Yeah. And we think of it as being very negotiable.
Yes.
Very, very negotiable.
And it's not. And you should. I loved what you said, and I'm going to take that on board. Like, your sacred time, you know, because I'm trying to work on the sacred pause. And I just think this thing's the sacred time. It's just so, it just nails it right on the head. And protect it as if it's sacred. Nobody needs to know. The only people that really need to know are your immediate family, because they're the ones it will impact.
Yeah, because earlier on in this conversation you said make it non-negotiable. But with art and creativity, it's so much harder to make it non-negotiable. It's, for me anyway, it's easier if something is like a fixed thing in the schedule or it has a deadline. So even with exercise, I find that easier because I go to specific classes at, you know, times, days on the week. It's in my schedule. I pay for it in advance. That helps. So I've already paid for the session and I go.
What do they become when you pay for them in advance? Non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable and important. But how do we do that with our creativity? There are options like enrolling in a class, and I do think that that's a brilliant way to supercharge your art if that's available to you, if there's a class that suits the way that you like to work, the people that you like to be amongst, it's close in proximity, but the timing is right. But finding that can be hard because there aren't as many art classes around as there are gyms and, you know, things like that. So it can be more challenging to put it into your schedule. Online classes are brilliant. I utilized them a lot myself when I was first learning, and I definitely found an online class that has a bit of a structure to it is really beneficial, because you get into what is happening each week, you engage with a community, you share. It becomes almost like attending a class in your community, except it's online. And that's one of the reasons why we have one course, which we only run at designated times of the year, rather than it being a self-paced course that you can do whenever you want. Because we love having self-paced classes so that people can be flexible and fit it in. But sometimes we all know that people purchase classes and then don't access them. But with something that has a bit more of a structure and maybe even a higher price point, because it's interesting how with the Pilates that I go to, I pay for it. And because I pay for it, it makes me value it. And in some ways with art, we can do things that are free and out there. You know, there's free YouTube videos and stuff, but we never really have quite the same commitment to it and value on it if we haven't invested in it and invested in ourselves. And if we can find something that suits our needs that we can invest in some way, even if it's just a small thing. So my Pilates classes aren't super expensive, but I do feel like it does create a different level of motivation.
Absolutely brilliant. And you said something earlier on. You said time and energy. I never, ever, ever thought of anything like that before. We've been together, what, nearly 20 years, married 16. And you just said something about, you know, the kids come to see me or someone wants to talk to me and I have the time to talk to them, but I just don't have the energy. I was like, oh my God, that's me. Like sometimes I have so much time to do stuff like my photography, my passion projects. I've got lists of them in books in there and I just never have the energy to do them. And you just hit the nail on the head right there. If you pay for a Pilates course, or if you pay for your Pilates session, how many times have you got up in the morning, put your sports gear on and went, oh, I just don't have the energy to go here. But you go because you paid for it.
It's incredible. I reckon I've only had two sessions where I've woken up and wanted to go. And I've been going since I think about September last year I started. Yeah. And
that's brilliant.
And I go two times a week. Every other session, I wake up and go, I don't want to do Pilates today.
Oh my God, you're like the kids going to school.
I'm talking about Pilates a lot in this episode because it is Pilates day today for me. And it I am is. Going after we record the podcast plus Pilates.
But I absolutely love that thing. And for the month of February, my goal is to get 8 hours sleep every night for the entire month. So there's a lot of non-negotiables have to happen there and a lot of no to a lot of people. I've been doing it 3 days now and I feel amazing, like amazing. Remember talking about waking up depressed? I bounced out of bed this morning. Now it's only 3 days and next week's podcast, I'll probably be exhausted because I'm not getting my 8 hours sleep, but energy. Maybe protect my energy. So I have more energy to get out and do more stuff.
Yeah. So you could even start with thinking about your energy. That could be your first point of call. Am I getting enough sleep? Am I looking after myself? Am I giving myself the best opportunity to utilize that sacred space for creativity when it comes up in my schedule, whether it's 3 hours, 6 hours, because you could have it in your schedule. But if you haven't slept well, if you've been really drained by some kind of situation because you haven't protected your personal boundaries, when you go into that session to paint, you are not going to have the energy. You might have the time, but you won't have the energy. So we need to have both. And another thing that I just thought about, which we mentioned in last week's podcast is about managing the drain of social media consumption. And I talked about using the ClearSpace app, and I was talking about it in the context of wanting to read more, but I've actually been using it as well to create more space to make art. And it was interesting because I was making art on Friday, and in that time, it was one of the times when I can't access the app at all. And I went in to my phone to use it because I wanted to look at some inspiration photos that I'd saved. And I thought about it and I was like, oh, you know, I could use one of my, you know, how you have three opportunities to use it a day in that time, or maybe I won't use it. And in that split second, I made the decision not to look at the inspiration photos and to just keep painting and trusting my own intuition. And what that did for me was it gave me more time painting because I wasn't looking at the photos. It also took me deeper into my own process rather than looking at other people's art for inspiration and ideas. And it meant that I wasn't wasting my time. I wasn't being pulled in another direction. I was staying focused on this experimentation, which was trying to get a watercolor effect on a large scale canvas. And remember how I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that I made a breakthrough? And I wonder now, talking about it, whether that contributed to the breakthrough because I protected that time in another way. I protected it from social media. And I'm not saying that looking at inspiration photos is bad, but how often do we get caught up in looking at inspiration, gathering ideas, all the planning? And I say this because I'm guilty of it big time. I'm a massive planner. I think about things a lot. I spend a lot of time thinking. But when you don't have much time for art, wouldn't it be better to be spending more time doing?
You asked me this morning, you know, can you remember that time when like you were super prolific? You were getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you're going out late at night to take photos. I was organizing portraits with people. I was out there really practicing my craft. And today you asked me, you said, do you remember that? And do you remember why? I do remember why. One, I was learning my craft. I wanted to go out there and learn, and I was so passionate about it. It was unbelievable. It was oozing out my pores. I couldn't drive my car without looking out the window and saying, that'd be a great photograph. That's a great background for a portrait. I could park a car against that wall. Oh, I'll definitely come back to that. I lived and breathed photography and videography. I loved it. And I was doing free jobs to get experience. Then I was doing paid jobs. And then I was doing my passion projects. And I was just crazy about it. And I had a friend that was into photography, and we'd go out together and all that kind of stuff. And then over time, because I didn't protect it, and every single creator I follow online, on YouTube, whatever, they always said, always have a passion project. And it was the first thing to go. If a job came up, the passion project went. If my friend wanted to go out to shoot photographs, the passion project went. I remember I shot a bodybuilding show for a very good friend of mine, and the money was fantastic. And I remember coming back to you one day and I saying, oh, it was brilliant. The lighting conditions were very difficult. It was a really technical shoot. I had 3 cameras on the go. I was the only shooter. I was backstage. I was doing interviews. It was amazing. And I stopped doing that. And now I don't have anything outside of this studio to shoot. And I did that to myself. I did it to myself. I love going through your Instagram and your Facebook, and I'm always asking you, did you get any comments? Like, what are people saying? Like, did that photograph get many likes? Because I'm removed from that completely, and I miss it a little bit. I'll just take you back to the question. It hits home to me, like, really, really hard and really significantly. And I don't want people to feel sorry for me or anything like that, because I'm getting extremely motivated from this conversation. Like, I'm making time in my head right now. This is very, very important, and I want people to listen to this. Also, I feel a bit ho-hum about my art. When I go back out there, my photography is going to be so bad. It's going to be so bad. And that will make or break me. Because the first thing that I will say to myself, why bother? I can just shoot for Laura. We're very successful. You know, why bother? And I need to be aware of that. I need to protect my energy around my photography and get out there and really, really start doing it. And then the very last thing she said, how to get the inspiration back. I need to get back out there.
Yeah, I'm reflecting on many of the things that you said because I was very similar when I started. There was so much passion because it's something new, it's exciting. But how do we keep that passion alive when we've been in it for quite a while and we've learned a lot?
And I just want to say one thing. You have never been anything but super supportive of whatever I wanted to do. There's nothing, and I mean there's nothing holding me back. Not you, not the kids, not my job, nothing. It's all me.
I think in many ways we need to give ourselves permission to go and chase those sparks again, to try something different. We need to give ourselves permission to do that, especially when sort of more businessy sides of things come in and we're busy doing paid jobs and stuff like that. We need to give ourselves permission to play and explore, because when we lose the passion, it just shrivels up.
We were only talking about changing styles, right? And the difficulty around changing styles. And we were talking about how people might react. But if you're doing the same thing because you're getting paid for it time and again, and you are not experimenting with passion projects, you will not grow. Could become insanely successful, but you won't grow, and it will come back to bite you.
And I think that's what we don't realize, because we hang on to the idea that, oh, this is still working. But as we are progressing through that, slowly our creativity is dying and then it stops working over time. So we have to recognize it and give ourselves freedom to take a break. It can look like many different things. It can mean taking a break from what we were doing. And we talked about in the last episode moving in a different direction. And you might choose to take a month off from what you were doing and try something new. Give yourself a bit of a sabbatical from whatever it is that you are doing. Maybe you will take a class, enroll in a retreat, join a group in the community. There's many, many options. But how can you find a spark again? Because a spark can grow. We can grow from that. We just need something to get us excited. We want to dial up our desire, because we will not make that sacred. We will not make that sacred time for art if we don't have the desire to make art in the first place. So how can we dial up our desire to create? What can we do to feed ourselves, to get us excited? Where can we go? What can we look at? Who can we talk to? Because it starts with that. And then we are itching to create. And then once we have the spark, that's where the protection comes in. Then we need to think about, okay, we've got a spark. That's all we need. We don't need piles of inspiration photos. We don't need piles of books to read. We have our spark. Now we need to get to work. Now we need to look at the protection. How can we let people know we are creating? How can we put some kind of barrier around social media and other things that might feed into this? And then how can we invest in ourselves? How can we put value on what we are doing and make it important? And when we combine all of those things together, we have a really powerful place to create.
This conversation is just really, it's hitting me completely different. Like normally when we're sitting here and we're talking, I'm looking for sound bites that we can make for reels. I'm looking at the camera. I'm looking at the time. I'm also thinking about the edit. And then I'm thinking about how I'm talking and am I saying like a lot and you know, and I'm really thinking those things. But this conversation, like it's almost been like a hammer blow. And I don't know if it's because of the sleep I'm getting or how I'm feeling right now. I feel like really energized. And I hope the person that sent us that question is listening to this. And I really hope that they get something from it. I think maybe we should think about creating some kind of hierarchy of protection. So my energy is number one, and then time is number two, and then boundaries might be number three, and then number four might be, your little art kit that you made. Like we could call that like preparation, and then just add a few little things to that hierarchy of protection. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that idea of having a hierarchy because we've talked about it from many different angles today. And if we think back to where this conversation started, you know, we started talking about time, planners, like finding the time in the schedule. And then it moved into energy. And then we were just talking about desire, having the spark, and protecting your boundaries. So there are many different levels to this in order for us to really effectively protect and reclaim our creative time.
And last week you were saying, you used to laugh at me when I'd come to you with a harebrained idea because I wouldn't have a business plan. I wouldn't have gone to the bank. So when I came to you with this idea, that's all it was an idea. So if you're in a relationship with somebody or you're living with somebody or you're in a house share with somebody and you want to create some time and some space to paint, go to those people with your plan.
Well, you know, when you come to someone with a plan, and it doesn't need to be a big plan, it just shows people that you're serious about it. And that's what they need in order to respect it. And to play into this protection that we're talking about, to support you in protecting it. So just a small plan. This is what I want to do. This is when I'm going to do it. It brings in that element of I'm serious about this and I want you to support me. Wow, what a conversation. I feel the same way as you. This has been hugely beneficial for me, particularly in relation to continuing to maintain and protect that Friday that I've set aside for painting. And I feel so good about it. And for a long time now, I've wrestled with feeling like I need to have more time than that. But now I feel really at peace and happy with having that Friday set aside and all these different layers of protection that we've talked about. And I'm going to be looking at that more and thinking about that more, like how can I sleep better the night before Thursday night? What can I do around setting up my space so I can get straight into the work, avoiding distractions? And if someone calls me, how might I respond to that conversation? What would be a way that respects my art and my craft? How could I answer that in such a way that I'm maintaining that value on my creativity? So there's a lot to unpack here, a lot to think about. I really hope that it's been helpful for everyone, but particularly the person that left that comment that sparked this conversation for us. And I just want to encourage people to make time for their creativity. It's important. Let's treat it as something that's important. So that's it for this week. Before we sign off, I just wanted to mention that the course that we talked about that is run over a designated period is actually opening up for registration. It will be this week. So this podcast comes out on a Monday, and on Wednesday we are opening that up. It is a limited time because we love to encourage people to really get stuck in that course. It's called Modern Mixed Media. If you want to find out more about it, you can join the wait list, and the wait list is at laurahornart.com/modernmixedmedia, and we are opening that up for registration on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day. So I thought that would be a great day to open it up and to encourage more creativity into people's lives.